Yeah, Chris, we heard a lot yesterday about ESG, and especially about S, you know, social responsibility. And how does that play into how the, you know, SEC views illegal acts?
Right. Well, and first I'd piggyback on something Ivory just said, that they swear, management swears not only that the financial statements are accurate to the best of their knowledge, they also submit management certifications regarding internal controls. So that's the other thing, and I think that may be coming up a little more later, but I mean, all those things come into play when you're looking at one of these deals and how the illegal act occurred. Does it implicate your internal controls? Were those certifications false? When I was at the SEC, we brought at least a couple of cases that I handled that I can remember where they brought fraud charges. I think it was non-CNR-based fraud, but nonetheless, fraud charges based upon those internal control certifications. And that's a big issue for the accounting folks. But going to your question, I mean, I think there's a continuum, right? I mean, if it touches your numbers or anything else in the financials, and by that I don't just mean the numbers, I mean MD&A and other types of disclosures, which is probably where we're getting more into the ESG realm, right? But if it touches on that stuff or, and there's something that's clearly erroneous, it's kind of a slam dunk, illegal act that needs to percolate up. But what about the touchy-feely stuff, especially in today's day and age? I mean, what if you're talking about workplace harassment? What if it's workplace harassment involving a guy in a truck, right, on a construction site, vis-a-vis workplace harassment involving, you know, a relatively high-level manager in the accounting department versus a C-level executive, right? I mean, and that's where you kind of separate the auditor materiality, which is kind of the world I grew up in, versus the SEC materiality. That goes to the certifications too. There are specific cases holding that anything that would impugn the integrity of management is material. So there's a lot of layers that you got to unpack here. And I think you get into the cyber disclosures. Again, you can have minor data breaches, which I've handled some of those where there's no reporting requirement under state law. Would something like that potentially nonetheless be an illegal act that's material for these purposes? The fact of the matter is there's not much guidance on that. And the SEC hasn't actually done a lot of enforcement in this area. In fact, really any that I'm aware of. So I think you've got to have a conversation between counsel and your lawyers and think kind of adroitly about it because these are very complicated issues.
So, are there some, you know, specific examples? I mean, FCPA and things like that come to mind for me. But are there specific kinds of laws, since it seems to be such a sensitive trigger?
Well, the FCPA is by and large enforced in the controls provisions, the accounting and controls provisions. So we've had a great expansion of how the SEC and the Justice Department treat those controls provisions from financial to compliance controls. So if you have a government contracting business where there's a False Claims Act violation, any kind of money laundering, banking crimes, ERISA, so pension issues, environmental protection laws, there's no reason not to believe that this extends as broadly in scope as imaginable. And there's a mirror image. So foreign regulators like the financial authorities in the UK are going after US-based accounting firms for lapses at a multinational level that then rebound to the US parent company in disclosure terms and raise 10A issues. So I think our SEC is extended some cases to even disagreements over accounting standards between management and auditors, even if it's a subjective good faith debate over GAAP. So being on the same page as your auditor at least clears away the 10A issue.
Thank you, Ira. So obviously, the duties that are created for an auditor when you have this broad swath of, you know, illegal acts that have to be looked into, one of the things it triggers is a duty to investigate. And, you know, Chris, can you talk about, you know, when that obligation arises and sort of what limitations are put around that?
Sure. So it's a very low bar. You have the duty to investigate arises if the illegal act may have occurred, which it's almost impossible for me to think about a situation where something like this would come up across your radar and you're not going to meet that very low threshold. It's really that one's a pretty simple answer, Danny. I mean, the fact of the matter is if there's any sort of indicia whatsoever that there may have been an illegal act, the duty is triggered.
Materiality required?
Go for it.
Is materiality required?
Materiality is not required. And I think that may be a good segue to kind of just talk about materiality a little bit. So there's no like secret formula that I can give everybody to take away that, oh, you know, I can tell my client, if it's below this, you're good. Materiality has a lot of qualitative and quantitative factors that are gonna come into play. Audit teams will typically have a dollar threshold that they're looking at, but that's not the be-all, end-all. And Chris mentioned a few investigations just earlier where materiality can come into play and the auditor may require an investigation and want to be a part of investigation, even if it's a sexual harassment related item related to someone in the C-suite, right? Because that's management integrity. And if management is doing that type of activity, then they very well could be doing some other nefarious activity within the financials.